yeah, oh yeah, can I get a oh yeah, oh yeah, can I get a...
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Journey to Mastery. Now, I have a secret for you guys. Now, I know I say this every week, and I say it every week because it's true every single week. The guest that I have today is super, super smart. He's a super down-to-earth person, which I seem to attract those types of people who are really cool, really down-to-earth, and just really, really good people. So I'm not going to bore you with all the details of his bio. That'll be in the show notes, and you can link and you can go to his website to see that. But just know that I'm a veteran, I think, in this whole podcast thing. And Cliff was one of the guys where when I first started, I looked up to as a person who was doing podcasting well, with the spirit of excellence, but not only doing it well, but doing it for the right reason, which I think is why he sort of transitioned into what he's doing today. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about mindset. We're going to talk about limiting beliefs, how to identify them, and how to live the life that serves you. All right. So I'm going to bring Cliff in. And Cliff, super excited to have you here. How are you?
I have never been better, LZ. It gets better every single minute of the day.
So when we first hopped on before we hit record, I asked you, I gave you some platitudes, right? The typical podcast host stuff. And I said, I know that you're very busy. And you said that, no, you weren't so busy. I'm going to put a pin in that. That's where we're going to start. But before we get into the good stuff, Cliff, can I get an oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Perfect. So let's pick up where we left off just now. So you said that you weren't very busy. What? Why would you say that? And what does that mean?
Well, first, let me also start by telling you, almost everyone says, I want to respect your time. I know how busy you are. And I'm like, where are you guys? I mean, are there people out there talking about me and my lifestyle? Is there some sort of hidden blog, secret celebrity, you know, whatever out there? It's like, here's what Cliff's up to today that everybody's in on that I'm not aware of. Because I think about my life and I'm like, I'm probably one of the least busy people that I know. And that's by design. So for me, when I first started working full-time self-employed, I worked Monday through Monday, 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, never took a single day off until 9 months into my full-time self-employment journey. Then I took my first day of the week off, which was Sundays. But the only way I can convince my employer, which I was self-employed, so that was me, to give me the day off was if I would promise to work additional hours every day the other 6 days of the week. After my first full year of full-time self-employment, I celebrated with a 24-hour nonstop podcast marathon, recording 24 podcasts episodes in 24 hours. And I celebrated the success of that with a trip to the emergency room where I almost died and spent 2 weeks in the hospital. Since then, I've decided, you know what? It might be a good idea to get a handle on what is going on in my life that's caused me to feel like I must work myself to death so that I can feel okay earning money doing something that I love. Because if I don't get a handle on this, I'm going to die. And so I began a personal and professional development journey that's been going on ever since. Today, I earn as much money as I desire to earn every single month consistently. And I work no more than about 15 to 20 hours a week.
I love it. So my hope with our conversation, Cliff, is to sort of unpack how you got there. And more importantly, maybe not more importantly, because you're important, Cliff. Don't mean to say that. But more importantly, how you help other people get there. So let's start here. Let's start with limiting beliefs. A lot of people understand the term, what that means, but they don't really understand what that means. So this is your area. Help us understand, what are some examples of limiting beliefs?
Well, before I give an example of a limiting belief, let me just define it for folks real quickly. And it may sound super easy, but I promise you it will be worthy of explanation. I mean, at surface level, you've got a belief, and then you put the word in limit in front of it. And so if you have a belief that is limiting you from taking action or putting an end to a behavior that is not helpful, then that belief is limiting you from experiencing the fullness of what you could achieve in this world, what you could create. So a limiting belief is any belief that is causing you to not realize what it is that you could create, what your full potential is, your full power. Now, I know this may sound obvious, but I think it's worthy of talking about what is a belief. Because I will never forget the first day I ever heard somebody, and it was Tony Robbins. I think it was either Creating Lasting Change or Personal Power 2, one of his two audio programs that I was listening to on the way home from the gym. I remember I was on 275, Interstate 275 in Northern Kentucky, just passing Mineola Pike. It's one of those things. It's like, you'll never forget where you were when this event occurred. And I could tell you, like, you know, I know where I was when 9/11 happened. I knew, you know what I'm talking about. And this is how big of a deal it was. Because when the day I heard Tony Robbins say this, a belief is nothing more than a thought that you feel certain is true. That's it. Up till that point, Elsie, I had this belief that beliefs are truth. And once you have a belief is what you live by. Beliefs are not something you challenge. Beliefs aren't something you question. Beliefs are just beliefs, and they are truth, and truth cannot be argued with. Don't be messing with my beliefs. That's what I would kind of unconsciously and consciously say to others. And that's what I would consciously and unconsciously say to myself. Don't be messing with my beliefs. But man, the day that I heard that a thought, that a belief was nothing more than a thought that I have some feeling of certainty is true. And then all of a sudden, and by the way, there's another belief. There's a teacher out there goes by the name Abraham Hicks. And that her saying definition is a belief is nothing more than a thought that you have a habit of thinking. So those are two ways of thinking about the word belief. And now all of a sudden, if you think about this, why does that create such a reaction inside of me? Because now I understand there are certain beliefs that I have that are limiting me. And the reality is that these things are no more powerful than a thought, just like any other thought. It's just that up until this moment in my life, I have had a habit of thinking it over and over again. And so much so that I've come to a place where I have a feeling, just nothing more than an emotion. It's not rational. Well, in some cases it is, but in most cases, it's not a rationally thought out, oh, well, obviously there's great reasoning behind this truth. No, it's just something that I thought once when I was a kid. In most cases, I adopted it. I agreed with it. I thought it over and over again. Sometimes, and most times, unconsciously, not thinking it out loud. It's just something that was part of my programming code, my operating system of how I think and process all the things that go on in my life. And because it was a belief down here, I felt certain it was true. And therefore, that limitation was always a limitation of reality. This, it just is what it is. That's how life is. You got, how many of these do we have? There's you're born, you pay taxes, and you die. Those are the only things that are guaranteed in life, or whatever. Just crazy things like that. Money doesn't grow on trees. You know, you don't get paid for your hobbies. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You could go on and on and on with just little nuggets of thought that get stored as belief and has a feeling of certainty of truth. And what was so exciting about having that definition for me was to realize these are nothing more than thoughts. And actually, once I evaluate them, I can actually see that there's evidence to the contrary, which means that it's not an irrefutable fact or truth of the universe. So did I answer the question?
Yes. So sometimes people, in my opinion, they don't even know that the belief is limiting. How do you identify, right, the belief in the first place? So we know what a belief is, right? How do you even know, okay, this belief is limiting me? Like, how do you get to there?
This is super easy. And in fact, if anybody's not currently in a place where you can write things down, I would encourage you to come back at least, listen to this all the way through, continue your drive to work or wherever you're going or whatever, but make a point to come back and listen to this later and write some of these things down. So I'm going to give you a step-by-step formula. This is guaranteed to help you find out what beliefs are currently limiting you. Here's the first question. You're going to ask yourself this. What is something that I would like to experience in life that I am not currently experiencing?
Mm.
That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is, what is one thing that I already know that I need to do that if I were to do it, it would get me one step closer to that becoming a reality in my life? Write the answer to that question. Next, why am I not already doing that thing? Now, when you write that question down, I want you to write a bullet point list of excuses.
Because they'll come.
Because you will have them. And every single answer is a limiting belief.
Mm, I love that. I love that. So we've identified the limiting beliefs. We know what a belief is. How do we begin to reframe those? And part of it, I think, is being honest with ourselves, because I know I'm guilty of it when I'm not doing something that I wish to be doing, or I haven't gotten as far as I think I should have gotten. I sometimes make excuses as to why I got there. So how do we stop making excuses and begin to reframe those beliefs?
Well, I think it's good to make the excuses. Just most people don't take the time to journal and reflect on those excuses. So making the excuses is perfect. Having a goal and not achieving it is perfect. Having lots of excuses as to why you have a goal and you're not taking action is perfect. Having all of those excuses and not self-reflecting and evaluating the truth behind the beliefs of those excuses, that's where things run afoul. So I would encourage you to begin a process of self-reflection. Self-reflection can be done in a coaching session with a great coach, in a mentoring session with a mentor, in a hot seat with a peer group such as a mastermind group, or it could be done one-on-one with somebody that you love that can speak truth to you, ask you the difficult questions that you may not want to ask yourself. And it can also be done solo. You could sit in a time of meditation and or prayer and go deep within yourself and find out, evaluate these things. Is this true? So for example, one very popular limiting belief is that I should be more successful than I am. And that is a belief. And that belief causes people to have emotions that are not necessarily powerful. And those emotions that come with the fact that I should be more successful than I am causes you to expel energy. And that energy drains you from the things that could help you actually be more successful. But the problem is there's this belief that you should be more successful than you are. I would encourage anyone who has such a belief to go into a journal and write down in the heading of the journal, I should be more successful than I am. And then the first question you're going to ask yourself is this, is that true? The second question is, can you absolutely know for sure that that statement is true? The third question that you could ask yourself is, how do you feel and or show up and or react when you have that thought that you should be more successful than you already are? And then ask yourself this question, who would I be or how would I show up in my life, in my business, in the pursuit of everything that I'm creating in this world if I were not able to have the thought, or if I were to completely let go of the thought that I should be more successful than I already am? The answers that will come from you will reveal that the actual statement that I should be more successful than I already am, it will become crystal clear and obvious that that is a false limiting belief that's causing you suffering. And if it doesn't immediately register as false, because the first two questions, you could still say yes to those. That's perfectly fine. But here's what I will tell you. I already know this. I've done this with thousands of people. The answer to the third question, how do you show up? How do you feel? How do you react? What do you do when you hold this thought? It's usually a negative emotion. I get stuck. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. I feel lethargic. I feel like giving up, all of these things. And the answer to question number four is almost always super positive. I would feel, by the way, question number four again was, what would you be? How would you be? How would you show up if you couldn't have this thought? If you never thought the thought, I should be more successful than I am right now, I would be so much more easygoing. I'd get into a flow state and know that I'm perfectly where I am. I would feel divinely guided. I would feel all of this stuff. This, my friends, is incredible. This is the power of self-reflection. By the way, I want to give credit where credit is due. The four questions that I just gave you that, is it true? Can you absolutely know for certain that it's true? How do you show up when you feel that it's true or when you have the thought? And how would you show up and how would you be if you didn't have the thought, if you let go of the thought? That comes from a woman named Byron Katie, and she has a process called The Work, which is a framework for self-analysis. And if I can, Elsie, is it okay if I give you two bonus questions?
Of course.
So if you're going to go through this self-analysis, this self-reflection journaling experience, or you could hire somebody like me to go through it with you as a coach, there are two bonus questions you could ask. And one of those bonus questions is, can you see any good reason to let go of the thought? I've not met a person who said no to that question ever. It doesn't matter what the belief is. Even if they said yes to, yes, I know it's true. And even if I said, can you absolutely know for certain, beyond any shadow of a doubt that it's true? Even if they said yes to that, when I ask the question, can you see any good reason to let go of that thought? The answer is always yes. And the answer to the next bonus question is always no. I've not met, I dare anyone to honestly tell me yes to this next question. Can you see any reason, any good reason that does not cause stress to keep thinking that thought? And the answer is always no. At that point, you, from that moment forward, could continue to hold that belief, to continue to think that thought, or you could see it for what it is, consciously aware of it, shine the spotlight of attention and focus on what it's creating in your life. And now that you're consciously aware, you get to choose, do you still want to go forward in this life with that thought, with that belief?
So before we talk about, excuse me, rewiring our brains, talk a little bit about how important coaching, mentoring, and training is. I had somebody ask me, you know, if I could talk to my earlier entrepreneur self, what I tell myself. And I almost always tell them, as soon as I could, I would hire a coach, because I feel that it's that important. And we don't talk about it enough in the entrepreneurial circles. So speak to that a little bit, and then we'll go back to reframing and rewiring our brain.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of self-serving to ask me that question as a, you know, master business strategy and mindset coach, but I will.
It's called, in the sports world, Cliff, it's called an alley-oop.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Serve it up for me, my friend. All right. So here's the situation. Most of the time, you would never need a coach. If things are going incredibly well for you, you're in peak positive state, you have a feeling of great peace, joy, abundance, and love. If you find yourself on a day-by-day basis pretty consistently experiencing that state, chances are you need no coach. In fact, no coach could probably give you the insights that you're able to find within yourself. Everything you ever need to know is absolutely inside of yourself. In fact, most coaches, if you go to them and seek their advice, some of them, even including myself, will freely give you advice. But here's what I will tell you about all advice that you get from any coach. It sounds like I'm actually like totally destroying. Why would anybody want a coach? I'm going to get to it. But let me tell you what you need to be watching out for if you do get a coach. If you seek advice from a coach, just understand that any advice given is all autobiographical. That means it is based upon their experience, their perception of the world, their belief system, and they may have inside of themselves many limiting beliefs about the very specific topic for which you are trying to get past. And if they reflect to you their limiting beliefs, they may actually cause you to reinforce some of the stuckness. So that is, I just want you to understand that just because somebody gives you advice, it's like, well, this is how it worked for me, and I've seen this work for a lot of other people, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to work for you. Now, so the question is, why should somebody hire a coach? Why would you want a coach? Well, quite frankly, if you've ever find yourself waking up in the morning and maybe you wake up feeling kind of good, you know, it's like, wow, great night's sleep. There's air in my lungs. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is such a gift. The earth is still precisely the exact distance from the sun to keep me from burning to death or freezing to death. Another day above dirt. This is great. Maybe you get out of bed and you feel that, but then you check your email and you find out that two clients just canceled, you know, their agreement with you or whatever. And that big proposal, they said, hey, you know, Cliff, I definitely want to work with you, but you know, I'm sorry, but my boss, my spouse, there's all these different things. I couldn't get the agreement to go ahead with it. Sorry, I'm going to have to pass. And you might have, you know, somebody backs into your car and you can't drive it and you got a big deductible you could have a string of things happen. And if you find yourself getting into a cycle of negative thinking, a lower level of emotion, and I don't mean lower as in bad, all emotions are incredibly beneficial and they all serve their purpose. But at some level, when you get into, I'm angry, I'm fearful, I have anxiety, I'm worried, I'm having a little bit of self-confidence issues, and all of these things, you all of a sudden start to catastrophize and tell narratives and stories about what all of this stuff means. And a lot of it is from your unconscious beliefs from childhood, which we've never evaluated. It's never come to the surface. We're not even consciously aware that those beliefs from our childhood, the things that are, you know, it's the kids in school says, man, you're fat and you'll never make anything of yourself. And, you know, it's like, you never work hard. Your dad says, you never work hard. You're just, blah, blah, blah. You'll never make it in the professional world or whatever. You just, all these different things could be impacting how you're feeling and processing, completely unaware of what's going on. And you find yourself stuck. You get yourself in a stuck state. And when you're in a stuck state, your brain waves in your brain go into anxiety mode or fight or flight mode. Your ego, your persona feels like you are in danger. It's like, oh my gosh, because of this catastrophizing story that you're telling, I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the car. I'm going to be in debt to the IRS. I'm going to be homeless. We're going to be living with my wife's parents. I mean, this is terrible. And because of that, you're in a high range beta brainwave state of fight or flight, which actually cuts you off from the prefrontal cortex of your brain. That means that you have no access to creative thought. You can't think of a solution to your problem. Your brain has shut off everything so that it can give you access. All of your blood flow is going to all of the extremities of your body so you can run away from the danger that you are perceiving. That is what's going on. And when a client comes to me in that scenario, and I just recently finished up working with somebody for 1 year, they came to me when they were working with me, said, Cliff, I've had a digital marketing agency, I've been doing it for several years, and I was making a lot of money, had a large team. About a year and a half or so, you know, I've noticed a downward trend. Clients are leaving, clients aren't happy, and things are getting so bad now that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make payroll. I am waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with cold sweats, and I can't sleep at night. I am anxious. And somebody told me that if I reached out to you, you could help me. And that's when somebody needs a coach. All right. That's when a coach can help, because when a coach can actually help you understand that, first things first, we're not going to work on a strategy on how to get clients to stop leaving you. We're not going to work on a strategy for how to get new clients. We're not going to work on a strategy on how to come up with the resources to make payroll in a week and a half. That is not what we're going to focus on yet. First, we need to change your state. We need to change your emotional state. We need to get you out of anxiety, overwhelm, stress, worry, and shame and guilt to a much higher emotional state. And when we can get you into some appreciation, when we can get you to see that life is not really nearly as bad as what you think it is, that this too shall pass, just like anything else you've ever faced in the past that you've catastrophized in the past, that today you're like, man, back 10 years ago when that happened, I swore that was the worst thing. I wouldn't wish it on my enemy. But today, man, you know what? If I was to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing because I wouldn't have what I have today if it weren't for that experience. Today is one of those experiences. And I want to help you get connected to the fact that you're divinely guided and everything's working out exactly the way it should. And when we get you into a much better state, then I'm able to help you get into the story that you were telling me before we got you into a better state. I then reflect it back to you and you're like, oh, no, it's not really that bad. I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me how it really is then. Tell me, I don't want you to sugarcoat it. You know, tell me what really is. Just do me a favor and don't tell me anything and don't do anything to make it worse in your story than it really is. Define it in solvable terms. And then I tell that then what they do is they give me the destination. And all I have to do as a coach is ask them a handful of questions. And guess what? Now that they're in a more positive, appreciative, emotional state, they now have access to their prefrontal cortex. Depending on what your faith orientation is, you can now once again hear the voice of God, that inner voice speaking to you, giving you insight, giving you inspiration. And now I ask you the questions and you thought I was going to tell you all of the things which give you clarity on exactly. Now you realize, oh my gosh, I have all these answers within me. And you walk away with a clear step-by-step action plan on exactly what to go do to solve the issue that you came to me with. That's why I think it would be valuable to have a coach from time to time.
I love it. Talk a little bit about your specific journey, right? Because you're doing one thing, now you're doing a different thing, but you're kind of doing two things. Like, how did you come to that mindfulness awareness to know that this is maybe not the destination or the journey or the path that I want to take? And take us through your process.
Well, for me, there's a couple of things. One, what I've always wanted to do, which is what I've been doing here, is being of service and encouragement to others. I've always wanted to be a source of entertainment, education, encouragement, and inspiration from the time I was a kid. In fact, from the time I was 18 years old, I was told that, gosh, Cliff, if that's what you feel called to be in this world, that means you should be the pastor of a church. And so I was interviewed. They put me on the elder path and I became an ordained minister. I was a pastor, associate pastor for 10 years, preached all that other stuff while working in a family-run insurance agency that was started by my grandfather in 1937, owned at the time by my mom and dad. I was then next in line to take it over. And I realized, wait a second, I love this ministry thing that I'm doing here, but in my insurance work, I'm actually having a greater opportunity to be of ministry and service to my community through my insurance work than I would if I was the pastor of this church. And two things were nice about this. Number one, the money was better. And number two, I genuinely was sometimes the first person somebody talked to when their daughter was just killed in a car accident or a husband had just committed suicide. And they wanted to ask about the life insurance policy. I mean, I talked with some people through some very deep crisis moments, not to mention the fact that, you know, some of those people that I talked to years earlier came in and got their sports car, wanted to know how much it was to add it to the policy. And I said, hey, let's get you a life insurance policy for you, your wife, and your kids. Oh, I don't need that. I just need the car. I said, I know, but it's going to save you money, multi-policy discounts. And, you know, and of course, I educated them on buying term, investing the difference, teaching them how to become debt-free. It's like I was absolutely loving the ministry that I was doing as an insurance agent until I didn't. And what happened for me is my wife and I started podcasting as a hobby about a television show called Lost in December 2005. And we had 27,000 subscribers by our third episode.
Wow.
And this podcast or this television show had an episode called All Good Cowboys Have Daddy Issues. And so my wife has had some childhood trauma and opened up a little bit about that during our discussion of that episode. I had my own daddy issues from that I had shared. There was a podcast episode called Tabula Rasa, which is, you know, means starting over with a clean slate. And we talked about our various different times when we just each day is an opportunity to start with a clean slate. We don't have to live in our past and all of our mistakes. We can start over fresh. This is what this means. And so we would talk about all of these different things and people from all over the world. By the way, eventually that podcast got to 60,000 and then over 100,000 subscribers. So because of that, I start getting hundreds and then thousands of emails from people all over the world. And I began to ask myself questions like, wow, what would life be like if I could do this for a living instead of selling insurance, instead of ever becoming a full-time pastor of a church? And when I say, what if I could do this for a living? What did I mean by that? Using my voice to entertain, educate, encourage, and inspire, engaging with people, people emailing me taking time to respond and give them responses. So many people were asking the same question about a topic that I brought up that I got permission to read some emails. Some of them, I let them remain anonymous, but I read what they wrote. And then I would record my response to them and then put that out as other podcasts. So I didn't just have the Lost podcast. Now we had a podcast called Family from the Heart. I had a podcast called Encouraging Others Through Christ. I had a podcast called Business Tech Weekly, Help I Got a Mac, Social Media Serenity. You name it. I started creating all of these different podcasts for all of these different topics because I wanted to equip, encourage, and inspire people. And people were telling me their lives were being transformed because of the way that I show up. Now, when I had that thought, man, I wonder what life would be like if I could do this for a living. Limiting belief kicked in. What a stupid question. What an irresponsible question. What a selfish question. And immediately I felt guilt and shame for thinking the thought, what would life be like if I could do this instead of selling insurance? Because this thought occurred to me in 2007. And at the time, I'm in the insurance world. So I see the upcoming financial crisis of 2008. And I also know a lot of other professionals who have been laid off left and right. And as a result of that, job security was like the number one concern for most every income earner in America and in most parts in the world, in fact. And here I was. There's nobody that had more job security in 2007 than this guy named Cliff Ravenscraft. I mean, I'm in a family-run insurance agency owned by my mom and dad, and my grandfather started the business. I'm next in line to take it over. That my career is secure, and doesn't matter what happens financially in the market, people will always need insurance. So, but here's this guy named Cliff. He's like, he wants to turn his hobby into a full-time career. That's ridiculous. So I had to overcome that belief. I had to work through that process. I secretly started talking to some people about it. My pastor at the time, he goes, Cliff, you totally should do that. You come alive when you're behind a microphone. You're so meant to do this. And then all of a sudden, it gave me the courage to have conversations with other people to see if other people were in alignment. It's like, I totally see you going and doing this for a living instead of insurance. Why haven't you done that already? And then all of a sudden, I started to talk about it in my podcast content. And these entrepreneurs would reach out and say, Cliff, I'd love to jump on a call and coach you through what it would take for you to succeed financially as a full-time self-employed business owner doing this online stuff. And I'm like, so I began doing that. And so for me, I started out with advertising and sponsors for podcasts for entertainment shows. And then I had a premium membership content for people who loved our content. We had people all over the world who were paying $10 a month to gain access to podcasts that was only available to premium subscribers. And then I was also podcast answer man. I was making money teaching people how to launch a podcast. Over time, it became very clear to me where the money was. It was a lot of work to manage $10 a month subscriptions. It was a bit of work to manage relationships with sponsors and advertisers. It was absolutely easy to convince somebody of the power of creating a podcast and putting your voice into the world. And I eventually started at $50 an hour, went up to $95 an hour because I thought, who am I to double my rate? So let's go to 95, limiting belief. And then I went from 95 to 150. I'll never forget the time when I went to my mastermind group and I said, guys, I think I'm about ready to raise my rates from 150 an hour to 200 an hour. And they said, no, don't do that. That's ridiculous. And I'm like, oh gosh, I was also thinking this was too much. Thank you so much. I guess I was getting crazy. And they're like, no, Cliff, you have to raise your rates to 300 an hour, double your rates. And I'm like, what? You guys are crazy. And they tried to convince me for an hour. They couldn't do it. By the end of it, they said, Cliff, because of your belief system about how much you charge, if you tried to ask somebody to pay you $300, you'd have a difficult time. They would smell the fear. You would telegraph it. So go ahead and charge $200. And I raised my rates from 150 to 200. I was still booked 6 weeks in advance. And I was still maxing out as many one-on-one sessions as I could do. And the increase in income was negligible. I was still a little overwhelmed with how much I was working. So then I read an article called 7 Reasons Why People Want to Pay You More and 7 Reasons Why Doubling Your Rates Will Double Your Success by Peter Shallard, I believe is his name. And by the way, you can find that at mindsetanswerman.com/double-your-rates. mindsetanswerman.com/double-your-rates, all one continuous line there. So I read that article. As soon as I read those 7 reasons, I immediately changed my rates to $300 an hour. Nobody said no. And it's like, and it is like, that's amazing. So I did that. And then I went to my mastermind group and I said, hey guys, I'm thinking about raising my rates again. This is probably about 6 or 7 months later. Should I go from $300 an hour to $500 an hour? Or should I go from $300 an hour to $1,500 an hour? And they said, neither. Stop doing one-on-one coaching. And then I said, okay, what do I do? They said, start a group coaching program. And so I started what would become Podcasting A to Z, a 4-week training course, $2,000, 20 students at a time. And that's, what is that, 40, or is that $40,000 a month? Or $40,000, yeah, 20 students times 2,000, yes. So $40,000 each time I did it. I did it 4 times a year, sold it out each time. And then I got to this place where my wife and I wanted to build the house that we were living in, and we needed lots of extra money to be able to build our dream home. And I said, well, okay, we need $62,000 after taxes to within 9 months. Let's go ahead and put the $1,000 down, sign the contract. We'll figure it out. I'll make it happen. And so I went from doing Podcasting A to Z once a quarter to every other month. So doing it 6 times a year instead of 4. And I took the limit of 20 students off. And so I had one class that had 38 people paying me $2,000. And it was hovering somewhere between 30 to 38 students each session. And I was doing that 6 times a year. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm making way more money, LZ, than I ever dreamed possible. But I'm working myself to death. And quite frankly, my entire life revolved around answering about 100 to 250 questions a day. How do I get rid of this buzzing noise? Hey, Cliff, I purchased this piece of equipment instead of the one you recommended, but I do have everything else is the same. Can you tell me exactly what cable I need? By the way, the email subject line was quick question. They don't realize that it was quick to ask the question, but I had to go and find out what model it was, search the internet for the user manual, download the user manual, open the PDF, look up the page that showed me the ports on it so that I could then tell them what cable they needed. And I hated it after more than a decade of doing this every single day. I loved it until I didn't.
Mm.
And then what happened was I had people like Michael Hyatt. Now, Michael Hyatt was one of my mentors. He was one of my earlier clients back in the day. super successful guy, wrote a New York Times bestselling book called Platform, How to Get Noticed in a Noisy World. A majority of my clients at one point in my life and one season of my business came from him. And he was a guest on my podcast and he said this.
Well, I've told you before, this is why I listen to your podcast. It's not because I need more technical information on podcasting. I just listen to you because I like the way that you think about life, how you approach the problems you're trying to solve, and just your voice. So you could be talking about anything and I'd be interested.
And that and about 25 other people in that same season of life began to say, Cliff, it's not the technical stuff that I get from you. It's the way that you think about life. It's the way you think about problems. It's the way you approach mindset. So what I need you to understand, and what I'd like for you to understand is that in 2000, by the way, that right there, that voice, that was probably right around 2014, 2015. In January 2009 is when I almost died in the hospital. After I got out of the hospital, I began a personal and professional development journey of myself, not so that I could one day teach other people how to learn their, how to control their emotional state, how to discover their limiting beliefs, how to completely transform their lives and their habits and their behaviors. I didn't do it so that one day I'd be able to help all these other people. I did it for myself and I just talked about it all the time. I talked about it in various different podcasts and people are like, Cliff, this is what I most value from you. And then all of a sudden it's like that same question. Remember in 2007, I wonder what life would be like if I could do this for a living instead of selling insurance. It was the same thing. I wonder what life would be like if I could do this again instead of teaching people how to podcast. And that's how that transition began.
Now, let me ask you this, because I hear what you're saying. It all makes perfect sense. We're lining folks up. We're like, all right, we got our limiting beliefs. We know we got it. How do you let go? How do you let go and transition into something else like that?
So the same way I did it in the insurance to the online full-time self-employment is the same way that I did it from podcast answer man to mindset answer man, if you will, and all the other transitions, the reinventions of my life. And so let me just share with you one of the things that I did in the insurance days to make the transition from there. And that was, number one, I had to allow myself the dream without guilt and shame. That's the first. Number one, I had to know what I want. Number two, I had to believe that it was possible. Number three, I needed to be willing to tell other people about it. Number four, I needed to know why I must have this. And number five, I needed to make a decision that I will have it. Then from there, it's all about following the steps, following the strategy, following the process as it becomes available. You and I were joking about MSU. It's called making stuff up. There's another S word you can put in there, but for the podcast, we'll just keep it as MSU, business model, making stuff up. I got this from Rich Lidfin, co-author of the book, The Prosperous Coach.
Yeah, I think I went to that university.
Yes, MSU. So the thing is, okay, what could I do here as an insurance agent part-time? Well, I had all these entertainment podcasts, DirecTV, Time Warner Cable wanted to sponsor my podcast. I negotiated sponsoring agreements. I went out and found another sponsor, a Mardell Christian store, who sponsored our podcast called Family from the Heart, which had not even launched yet. And they agreed to pay. Basically, the only debt we had at the time was our mortgage, my wife and I. And we negotiated a monthly sponsorship of a family podcast, husband and wife just talking about family once a week, that paid our mortgage for 5.5 years. That's it. That was our only debt, and they're that sponsor. And then I went to another sponsor who was the company that I hired a virtual assistant through their firm. I said, I think I'm going to launch a podcast about virtual assistants. And I did that for 38 weeks straight. And they sponsored my podcast before episode one was out. So I began doing these things. It's like, okay, what can I do? And people were saying, Cliff, you should charge me how to teach me how to podcast. And I'm like, okay, well, here I am at $50 an hour. And so before I know it, here I have the dream. I've told people about it. I've now talking about it publicly. And people are saying, Cliff, you should try this. You should try this. You should try this. You should try this. And I tried those things. Not everything worked. But at one point, I was making somewhere between $3,000 to $5,000 a month just in my free time outside of my full-time career as an insurance agent. And one day I came home and my wife says, "That's enough. You're burned out. You're overwhelmed. It's time to leave the day job. Tomorrow you're going to tell your dad that you're putting your notice in. I need my husband back. The kids need their dad back. We both know that this is what we are called to do in the world. We've got this. You're already making $3,000 to $5,000 a month just in your free time. Imagine what you could do if your 40 to 50 hours a week was devoted to this." So I went into my dad then the next day. By the way, this is about 5 to 6 months of trying things out and confirming there is a financial economic model before this happened. And I went into my dad. I thought my dad was going to freak out. I thought he's going to tell me what an idiot I am, all this other stuff. And in some way, I was hoping that he would, because I was scared to death to make this transition. And my dad, he's like, "Oh, Cliff, I've been waiting for months for you to come in and tell me you're ready to leave." And he says, "Here's what I want you to know. Number one, you know how much money you could make if you stay in the business and take over the agency." And I said, "Yes, I do." He says, "I want you to know, if you go and do what you love in this world, you'll make far more money doing that than you'll ever make in insurance." He says, "Now, the next thing I want you to know is that you could always come back here. There will never be a day, as long as I own this agency, that you don't have a place to come back to if things don't work out, but you'll never come back." And so that's how that happened. Now, I'd love to tell you, Elsie, that it was all smooth sailing from there, except for December of 2007, I had never experienced depression and anxiety and worry and doubt like I did then. So I put my notice in September for 90-day notice, right? So January 1st, I'm full-time self-employed. Come December, I'm sitting here watching television with my wife, and I am this happy-go-lucky husband. I'm super excited. What a great life I have. I'm so appreciative. I have so much to be thankful for. And I don't even know what was said, but something happened, some phrase was spoken, and some triggered belief, unconscious belief, caused me to go into an immediate negative spiral. And I was instantly filled with dread. What in the heck have I done? There's no way I can do this. This is the biggest mistake. And so I started to, this is before I knew anything about beliefs and mindset things. So I had a journal an audio journal at the time called Pursuing a Balanced Life. I think I ended up doing like 700, almost 700 podcast episodes of this. And I was telling people about it, and they said, "Cliff, just go to your dad and tell him that you want to extend your notice, and you're going to work for him. Let's just say you're going to work for him Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then you'll work for yourself Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday." Your dad loves, of course he's going to do that. And I'm like, "You're right. That's such an incredible idea." I went to my dad and I proposed that. He goes, "No." He says, "You cannot serve two masters."
Oh, wow.
He said, "You either put everything in insurance or you put everything in your business. There's no half butting it in either."
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
So that's how I made the first transition. And by the way, I worked 7 days a week for 9 months without a day off. I then took Sundays off, and then I worked about 14 to 18 hours a day the other days of the week. Almost killed myself. I made $11,000 net income, personal income that year. Now, the business made more. The business paid for a CPA because I didn't know anything about taxes and all the other legal stuff. The business paid for software. The business paid for all of the overhead, insurance for my family, because now we're full-time self-employed and that's a business expense. So the business paid all of that. But when it came to Cliff Ravenscraft bringing home breadwinner, by the way, a sole single income earner for a stay-at-home mom and three very young kids at the time. We're empty nesters today, but it was tough. I made $11,000 personal income that year, and the ups and downs emotionally, that's what literally wrecked my gallbladder that year, and that's what caused me the health issues that I had. And so that's what started me on that personal and professional journey. It's like, okay, I've got to figure this out. Other people have done this. Other people have succeeded. There's got to be. And people were pointing me in the, "Hey, Cliff, you should read this book," or, "Hey, Cliff, have you thought about this? Have you gone to this conference? These people could really help. This coach over here, talk to him." And it's like, wow, this is starting to make a lot of sense. And that's how I started all of this. And then I'm sharing all of this stuff. People are literally seeing my life transform before their eyes. Because I'm at one point, I'm creating 7 to 15 podcast episodes a week, every single week. And I'm reaching thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And people are like, okay, tell me more about this. And that's when all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's where Michael Hyatt starts saying what I played before. And other people were echoing that. And then to answer your question, how do you make the transition? Well, same thing I did went back when I was in insurance. Let's see if I can make some money outside of insurance was what I said then. Let's see if I can make some money outside of podcast technical coaching and consulting. And so what I did is I went to my audience. I said, hey, guys, are you struggling to deal with emotional things as they come up and it's keeping you stuck and taking action? Are you struggling to put end to behaviors that are causing you health issues, relationship issues, financial issues? I would love to offer you one-on-one. It's been years since I've done one-on-one coaching, but I'm about ready to bring it back, but not for podcasting. Mm-hmm. I have a desire one day to eventually shut down everything related to the technical aspects of podcasting. I don't know how long that's going to take me, but the first thing I need to do is validate on whether or not any of you would be willing to hire me as a coach with the understanding we will not speak the word podcasting in any of our coaching conversations. So I said, I have a coaching package. It's $3,500 and it's 6 one-on-one coaching sessions once per month for 6 months. Email me. I've only got room for 10 people. Instantly, within 7 days, I sold 10 spots. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I served all 6 of those people and the results were absolutely phenomenal. I came back to my audience after I finished that. And I said, hey guys, that was a couple months ago I did this. I'm ready to do another package. It's $3,500 for 3 months. One session per month for 3 months, but no podcasting stuff. Now, if you listen closely, what did I just do? I doubled my rates. Mm-hmm. Because it's the same price, but it's for 3 months instead of 6. So effectively, per session, I've doubled my rates. I wanted to test to see. And yet again, all 10 slots sold within 7 days. And that all of a sudden says, okay, I validated people will not only pay for it, but I also validated that I can get people transformation. Mm-hmm. That's also key. Mm-hmm. All right. Then I started, okay, what else could I do? I wonder if I could do weekend workshops. So I told you we built our dream home, and our dream home has what's called the Next Level Studio. I'm sitting in a 12-foot by 12-foot kind of square here, but one of the walls is not there. It opens up into, let's just say, about an 800-square-foot classroom sitting in front of me. And I built it so that I could actually teach workshops live here in the Next Level Studio. So I decided to create something called Building an Online Business Workshop. And if you paid $2,000 or open to one person only, you could pay $7,500. You get an extra full one-on-one day of mentoring with me. Come here and I will teach you from scratch everything you need to know to succeed in building an online business. And I was afraid to publish this. What if like one person signs up and nobody else comes, LZ? All these other fears and all this other stuff. But my first session had 8 people. By the way, I only sold it for $1,000 for the first session. But all of them, except for one, said you should charge $2,000. The 8th person said you should charge $1,400 instead of $1,000. So I changed it to $1,000. And then after that, I sold it out successfully time and time and time again. And then I'm like, okay, I have now validated that I can do this. And I began the process of slowly shutting down Podcast Answer Man and bringing on board Mindset Answer Man as my main focus and brand.
I love that. Cliff, I could literally talk to you all day, but I want to be respectful of your time. Parting words of wisdom, if you want to tie everything up in a pretty little bow, what say you to the folks who are listening, who are watching, next steps, actions that they can do improve their lives after listening to this episode?
There are a couple of things, and Elsie, I'm going to do something for you I haven't done for any other podcast interview yet, but here's a couple of things. First and foremost, if you're listening to my voice and the stories that I've shared have resonated with you, I want to give you free access to my opening keynote address to my Free the Dream conference. All right. This was a podcast, a conference, not for podcasts. It was for people who wanted to free that dream inside of them, whatever that is, to break free from any limiting beliefs that's holding you back from creating whatever you want to create in the world. All right. So the opening keynote address is called All Beliefs Have Consequences. If you go to mindsetanswerman.com/free and put your name and email address in, you'll get free access to this 60-minute talk that I did. I've done this at my own conference. It was an annual conference I did before COVID. I've done this specific talk at probably about 10 or 15 other conferences. Every single time, it's a standing ovation because it will absolutely transform your life. You'll never be able to experience life the way that you did before you saw this talk. It will, number one, help you understand how to discover all of your limiting beliefs. I've given you some hints to that here, but there's even more to it. Number two, once you discover the limiting belief, you'll understand the importance of discovering what the source of that belief was. You'll learn how to discover where the belief came from, because it's important that you understand this is not your belief. You did not consciously choose it. It was given to you. You agreed with it. You picked up with it without processing any reasoning. All right. So that's the third thing that you're going to learn is how to disassociate, how to remove the belief from your life forever so that it never shows itself ever again, never causes you to have those emotional trigger reactions anymore. And it's absolutely essential that if you remove a belief, you have to replace it with an empowering alternative belief. And I will tell you how to discover those beliefs and then how to condition those in your mind so that you will have a different experience. You will learn at mindsetanswerman.com/free. You will learn how to control your emotional state by shifting what you believe. If you shift what you will believe, you will shift what you think and how you feel about the things that show up in your life. And how you think and feel about what happens in your life will always determine what actions you take. And the actions you take will always equal the same results. So if you want new results in your life, you have to take different actions. If you want to take different actions, you have to think and feel differently with the things of life. And you can't do that unless you change the beliefs that cause you to think and feel that way. MindsetAnswerMan.com/free. All of that is for free. Here's the thing that I've given that speech 100 times. Elsie, here's what I haven't done. When you go through it, I've got automations in place. I've been in online business for long enough to know how to do a sales funnel. You're going to get some offer in there to buy the course for $197. There's an online course with a total of eight sessions, and that was just the first of the eight. So what I'm going to tell you is if you email me after you get the email, it says, did you get what I promised? And it's going to ask you, did it transform the way that you experience life? If you email me and say, hey, Cliff, I heard about you on Elsie's podcast and I would like to have the course for free, I will then give you free access to the entire online course.
Awesome.
That's it. Well,
thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
We certainly appreciate that.
It is my pleasure. But you have to go through, you have to do the mindsetanswerman.com/free, watch the opening video, and I'll know because I got automations. It tells me that you watched it. Mm-hmm. And if you email me, cliff@cliffravenscraft.com, and of course you'll get an email and you can just hit reply, because it'll say you can buy the course, but instead of paying $197, just hit reply on that email. Say, I listened to your podcast with Elsie. You said I could get this for free. Please hook me up. And I will definitely do that.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the generous offer. Oh, man, we're going to have to come back because I have so many other questions around blending brands, how to transition that smoothly. Because, again, I've watched from afar and I've noticed how you make that transition. And I think it's important when you think about online businesses and how to transition when you're asking yourself those questions of what will life be like. The details are important on how to strategically do that. So, man, I hope I could get you back at some point to talk through those things. But thank you so much for your time, Cliff. And hopefully this won't be the last time we talk on Journey to Mastery. Or who knows, maybe there's another podcast down the line that I'll host and we'd have you on as a guest.
Elsie, it would be my honor anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I get a oh, yeah?